For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and you can find this offer at rangergear.com. Just go to rangergear.com. Use coupon code DAVE to get a folding credit card knife for one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally, these are sold online for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at rangergear.com, you can get it for a penny. Just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com right now and enjoy this really unique preparedness item for years to come.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. Dave Hodges and James White here. We are the hosts of the Common Sense Show, coming to you live on WMQM, that great station out of Memphis. We're also being broadcast on TalkNetwork.com. Proudly there, and a whole bunch of other people that we're just finding out about are picking up this broadcast every day. Well, Jim, let me bring you in here. Let's get started right away. We've got a terrific guest in Ben Davidson, and Jim, to handle the introduction, let me throw it over to you.
Thanks, Dave. I'm not sure if we have Ben on the line here yet. I think we're still having we're having some technical difficulties, which seems to be something that we've been running into a lot these days. But so I think we're still waiting for Ben to get here. But in the meantime, we'll get a signal when he comes on the line.
Sounds really good.
If you saw the big news, actually. Ben, is Ben with us?
Yes, I am here.
Ben, how are you today, sir? Let me give you a proper introduction. Joining us on the line is Ben Davidson. Ben's the director of the Mobile Observatory Project, founder of the Observing the Frontier Conference, and websites like spaceweathernews.com and suspiciousobservers.org. And he puts on the most watched space weather news show on YouTube. And I think, Ben, you have over 250,000 observers in your community. Ben Davidson, thanks so much for joining us today on the Common Sense Show.
Absolutely, and I'm about to be world famous for the guy whose Skype will not perform when needed.
Yeah, no kidding. We actually got you beat on that one. That's been happening a lot with us lately, Ben. I don't know if it's the holidays or something that's going on, but at any rate, Ben, I've interviewed you a few times, and I have to say you're one of my favorite people to interview. Why don't you, if you don't mind, talk for those out there that may not be familiar with your work or what you do. I mean, you have a really great YouTube channel. I mean, the stuff that you cover, and I want to let our listeners know, Ben Davidson is the only person that I know, and if this streak has been broken, Ben, please update me. The only person I know that puts out a YouTube video every single day of the year, whether it be a holiday, whether it be a birthday, whether it be even your wedding day, I think. Is that not right, Ben?
Correct. Every day since the fall of 2011, since we really kind of woke up and got into this and decided that we were going to sort of dedicate our lives to whatever you call this nebulous collection of, you know, conspiracy interests, alternative news, you know, fringe science, all that stuff kind of gets bunched together on the internet and on YouTube and on a lot of the popular websites. So whatever you call that general community, since that time, that's pretty much what a lot of my life has been about.
You know, Ben, you cover a great deal of things on your broadcast and on your website, your YouTube channel. Everything from sunspots, solar flares, earthquakes, pretty much everything in between. It really is great. Your broadcasts are really very informative and well liked by many. Tell us a little bit, Ben, if you can. The thing that we talk about here on this broadcast, and I know that you've probably covered it numerous times, Are we just literally, you know, skating or skirting on the edge of a potential solar flare type EMP event? I mean, I know we talked, we know a lot about perhaps, you know, Russia or China or some other hostile country launching an EMP. But, our biggest concern may just be the sun that we see every day. That may really knock things out for us. Is that not accurate, Ben?
Yeah, there is, of course, the volume of evidence to suggest there's reason to worry about, you know, global politics. At the same time, there's a lot of evidence to suggest that it's theater, that a lot of these guys have realized what kind of danger we're in and that they're really working together. And frankly, if, I don't mean to be a homer here for anybody who might be listening to an international audience, but right now there's nobody who could really, take on the U.S. military. That's sort of just a non-starter for the rest of the world right now. But what we have been seeing is, significant events for humans. When the sun decides to act up, and we're seeing that with a different heliosphere and with a weaker magnetic field of Earth that protects us from dangerous things from space, the sun doesn't even have to really rev up very much in order to create a lot of these events. And so, we've seen just this summer a number of times where a major solar event occurred, and at the peak of that solar event, all of a sudden there are all these electrical glitches that cause emergency landings. They have had to actually down air traffic in the entire country, or in an entire region of Sweden, in the entire country of New Zealand, and a lot of listeners may remember when they had to down a bunch of air traffic in Virginia a few months back. This was because the solar storm actually whited out the radar. They could not see anything. They could not give proper air traffic control. Luckily, there is procedures in place for things like this for them to get everybody down safely within the area. And they were able to redirect around the planes that would have entered that area. But, even though all disasters were averted, it really gives you pause. During the solar storm we had just this last week, there were simultaneous electrical disruptions that caused reactor shutdowns in different parts of the globe. One was at Indian Rocks here in the United States. The other one was in Scotland. And, we've seen transformers explode during the height of these events. We've seen grid failures and grids having to actually be shut down due to dangerous levels of currents. And we're not just talking about some old aging thing. We're talking about the SDG&E peak power plant in San Diego, the one that's built for summer afternoons in Southern California, the thing that's meant to take that kind of current. But, so we're really seeing that if the sun gives us even the kinds of things we were seeing just a few years ago, Earth would not be doing very well right now. And this is the kind of thing where we're also evolving in how we learn just how scary this is. For example, during one of the solar storms, one of the only things that happened was a couple countries in Central America all lost power at the same time, like literally pretty much nationwide. And the issue is that, we've been thinking for all along that the main danger with solar storms started at the poles, because that's where the northern lights are and the southern lights in the south, and then the danger sort of comes down from there if they get energized. Well, scientists are now showing that, hey, there's this equatorial electrojet, much like the auroral electrojet, and it means that everywhere in the world is kind of in danger when the sun really decides to go off like this. And, it might not even need to be that much. The sun might just need to give us the wrong kind of nudge, the wrong kind of way.
Well, when it does something like that, let me ask a very simplistic fifth grade kind of question, Ben. If you're on the other side of the planet when this goes down, are you going to be protected? In other words, you're at nighttime when this happens.
No, not really. The way that this really works is we have these, I mentioned them before, the electrojet. So, like, let's say you're in Canada or you're somewhere like that and you can see the northern lights. You're just seeing a portion of it. It's actually a ring that goes all the way around the globe. And what causes the power disruption, whether it's the ones at the North and South Pole or it's the one that goes around much lower latitudes, is that gets really full of particles. The sun has really shot something at us. And it gets so energized that the electrojet, the current, actually, and, this is just sort of some basic physics here, you can't separate electricity and magnetism. An electric current will produce magnetic fields, which will produce more currents and more fields, et cetera, et cetera. And these currents above our heads actually get so energized because of the sun's energy that was poured into Earth that it actually induces through that, you know, creating magnetic fields, creating more electric currents, powerful ground currents that can surge through the ground, surge through the atmosphere, and really take out these transformers, take out these power grids, cause these damages at and glitches at nuclear reactors, can affect airplanes, all this kind of stuff. And some of the time, you wouldn't even think about something like this. At the peak of the strongest storm we had this summer, the entire FNB digital banking system in South Africa went down. Now, if you don't live in South Africa, that probably doesn't mean anything to you. But, I mean, imagine if all of a sudden, at the peak of a solar storm, you know, Chase, PNC, Wells Fargo, and, you know, the top four other banks that I can't think of off the top of my head, you know, all of a sudden you just couldn't pull money out of their ATMs. Just all of a sudden the entire banking system just went down for a day. I mean, that's basically the equivalent of what happened in South Africa at the peak of the storm. And so you never really know exactly what's going to be most vulnerable. That's one of the more interesting things. You know, this is like chaos theory. If you remember that scene from Jurassic Park where Jeff Goldblum is dropping the water droplets on Ellen's hand and showing them how they, no matter what, every time it's going to be a little different. It's kind of like that with these things as well, because no two solar eruptions are going to be the same. They don't travel through space the same. Did they encounter our moon? Did they encounter Mercury or Venus on the way here? You know, there's a million different factors that go into it. On its way down into the ground, was there more clouds one time or another? Because if there's a lot of clouds, there's a lot of there's a lot of water vapor there that can actually steal a lot of the energy, and we might have storm invigoration rather than an electrical grid problem in that area. Or maybe it goes directly deep into the lithosphere and we get an earthquake in that area as opposed to something meteorological or something technological. And so it really is kind of a crapshoot, but what we can say is that we have seen much, much weaker solar activity this summer than we have seen just in the past few years. I mean, this is the kind of thing where a lot of scientists are saying, hey, what is happening to the sun here? And yet, it has been able to do such significant things to the Earth, things we haven't seen in the past few years or in previous solar cycles when the sun was far more active and hitting us much more strongly. And you know, the main consensus among the quarter million observers or so is that, hey, this is a sign of Earth's weakening magnetic field. You know, it weakened 10% over the first 150 years. It weakened 5% in just the next 10 years. All estimates say we're anywhere from 20 to 25% down in our planetary shield, the thing that protects us from these solar blasts. And so, I don't really want to, you know, belabor any one point more than the other, but it kind of is as simple as that. Earth has a protective shield from these kinds of things. It's not like the thing of wood and bronze that you'd see a warrior on a field put up. It is a shield of magnetism. It's created by our planet, and it is weakening right now, and we have seen simultaneous with that the ability of our sun to have a greater effect on Earth in exactly the ways one would expect if the magnetic field was indeed weakening and we were looking at a doubly difficult situation, because a weakening magnetic field presents a whole new set of problems in and of itself.
Hey, Ben, let me pause for a second. Did I just hear you say, I think, in that explanation, did you not just say that the sun causes earthquakes? Is that kind of what I heard you just say? Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. I'll tell you what. We've only got about 40, 45 seconds left before the end of this first break. Let's pick up that topic if we can, Ben, on the other side, specifically the sun causing earthquakes. Before we go to the break though, Ben, why don't you, if you don't mind, take some time and tell us again about your website and about your mobile observatory project. We got about 30 seconds.
Well, absolutely. You know, the hub for everything is suspiciousobservers.org. From there, you can find all of our free content. You can sign up to be a member. I recommend you check out all the free stuff and make sure you're interested first. But you also have the links to all the free websites, spaceweathernews.com, quakewatch.net, magneticreversal.org, and, of course, observatoryproject.com, which is the site for the Mobile Observatory Project.
Excellent, Ben. We'll be going to a break here shortly here on Common Sense Show. We'll catch up to you on the other side of this break. This is James White along with Dave Hodges and our special guest, Ben Davidson from Suspicious Observers. We'll see you after the break.
talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price. Under $2 a meal. So you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. foodforliberty.com.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and you can find this offer at rangergear.com. Just go to rangergear.com. Use coupon code DAVE to get a folding credit card knife for one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally these are sold online for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at rangergear.com you can get it for a penny. Just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com right now and enjoy this really unique preparedness item for years to come.
Well, the sun may turn into our enemy one day, but right now the sun can be our friend, particularly if you experience a blackout. And we've got solar generators available, reasonably priced, and we're helping you finance your survival needs with 6 months same as cash. We would invite you to go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges and look at the fine supply of solar generators we have available. And if you buy this week, we will throw in a grab-and-go bucket with 76 delicious meals in case you ever have to bug out. And by the way, your solar generator is portable. foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Well, we've been listening with great interest to Ben Davidson talk about the natural effects of the sun. We spent a lot of time being worried about the North Koreans setting off nukes and causing EMPs and what that would mean. And so, Ben, let me bring this first question in this segment back to you in this regard. My concern is if we had something like the Carrington effect, that our nuclear power plants could be in real trouble if we didn't restore power within 7 to 30 days. What do you know about that?
Okay. I'm sorry. I had muted myself there. I genuinely
That's okay.
apologize.
So, were you able to hear the question, Ben?
Absolutely, I was. And I was sitting there chattering away like a fool. In answering the question, of course, nobody could hear me. If we had the Carrington event today, it would be cataclysmic. There is no backup plan. There is no contingency. There are no redundancies, really. At the basic pleading of Michio Kaku and a number of other individuals who, you know, like them or not, on this issue, they had it right. They basically begged the U.S. government to look into redundancies, specifically in case of a solar flare. And, they are looking into it. Plans are being made, but, I mean, this stuff takes so long. To reinforce and create redundancies everywhere would be a titanic effort. I mean, they're talking about, you know, testing this on one or two and seeing how it works for a couple of years and then maybe going further. Literally, we would be at risk of having every nuclear plant melt down at the exact same time. And that, you know, like I alluded to before the break, might not even require a Carrington event. Now, the Carrington event, for those who may not know, that was the mega flare that occurred a little more than 150 years ago, and luckily there wasn't much electronics there to destroy. Usually these things don't pose humans, over history, any real danger, but now that we're technologically dependent, you know, it poses a great danger. So back then, the only thing there really was telegraphs, and all the telegraph wires caught fire. The telegraph operators got shocked. They unplugged the machines, but telegraphs were still transmitting back and forth. It's a really bad type of scenario if it were to happen today. There's actually an even scarier scenario called the Charlemagne event, which happened a few hundred years ago, you know, around the time that Charlemagne was doing his thing. And this was estimated to be potentially 10 times worse than the Carrington event. You know, if that happened, there would be almost no question that every power grid on the planet would go down. And this is the kind of thing where the sun does this periodically throughout history. Humans have lived through dozens of Charlemagne and Carrington events and, you know, similar strong flares throughout history. And it only resulted in things like beautiful displays of the Northern Lights and you know, probably some meteorological and seismic phenomena, possibly volcanic phenomena as well. But now that we're technologically dependent, we're just so vulnerable. And it's the kind of thing where the last few hundred years have been uncommonly kind to life on this planet for reasons that are, you know, we have guesses about what some of those might be. That's probably another topic for another day. But for whatever reason, the things that a lot of our ancestors described and the things that we have evidence for in the geological record and other things like that really tell a story of a planet that is much, much harsher on life than we have experienced or have any frame of reference for. And that's the kind of thing that probably happens periodically on Earth. This is, you know, it's not like we are, you know, witnessing something unique, but the point is that the reason we've been able to flourish as a species so quickly in the last few centuries is because the Earth has not stood in our way too much. Yes, it's thrown natural disasters at us here and there, but never globally, all at once. That hasn't really happened. I mean, yeah, there was the year without a summer when that volcano blew and, you know, some other things like that. But even those, we had come far enough that we were prepared for something like that, at least to a certain degree where, you know, massive amounts of the population didn't die because we had a volcanically induced weak summer and it was tough to grow much. But you look around today and you really are talking about a scenario where before anyone even really knows what happened, there's no food at the grocery store, the electric water pumps, whether they're in your backyard or the ones at the city, they're not working, so there's no water coming to the tap. You can't use the phone to call anyone, much less the police, because that doesn't work. You can't use the ATM. There's no gas at the pumps. Even if there was, their machines don't work, so you couldn't get it anyway. We're talking about no heat, no air conditioning, just you, your family, and everybody else around you back at square one, and you better find food, you better find water, and you better find shelter and a way to, you know, make it. Because at some point, here's the thing, at some point this is going to happen. That is not really up for debate. I mean, you can debate all along about when North Korea is going to get the nuts to try something. I actually think they are going to get the nuts to try something. I just have enough faith that we've got some weapons up our sleeves electromagnetically that can pretty much shut down anything at any point on the planet, anytime. But it still doesn't rival the power of the entire planet itself, and certainly doesn't rival the power of our star. And we are very much at the whims of this thing as long as we are dependent on electricity. And, you know, I've got a lot of books, I've read a lot of stuff, and I've done a lot of daydreaming about such a scenario, but I mean, if I'm being perfectly honest, I don't know that I'd survive if I had to, you know, just be on my own in the wild with my wife and my 7-month-old daughter. You know, I don't know.
What, Ben, how long are we looking at if something like this were to occur? In your best estimation, what type of a warning would we have? I mean, not that it would probably make a whole lot of difference, but I mean, what are we talking? Is this something that was just, we're talking on this conversation right now, nothing's going on, then all of a sudden, zap, it occurs? Would we have some sort of a heads up?
Well, we would probably have some kind of a heads up. And by the way, while I'm talking here, I'm going to just go ahead and peek in our sun to make sure it's not doing anything foolish. No, the sun is nice and calm right now, being good for our conversation. Here are the timelines we're looking at. Essentially, 4 days, weeks in advance, we can predict at times when the sun should get more active, but we don't know when on the sun that might be. A few days in advance, we can know that there could be a potentially dangerous sunspot or a potentially dangerous plasma filament, which is basically this dense rope-like mass of plasma that can just erupt on the sun, even without a preceding solar flare, which is usually your warning to start tracking the eruption through space. You know, which is why we make it a point to actually go through and watch every image there is of the sun every day. We don't want to miss something like that coming off just because we were looking for a solar flare. Those sometimes don't produce them. And so if there is a solar flare, that energy moves at the speed of light. That gets here at the same amount of time that the visible light gets here, which a lot of you folks may know is about 8 minutes. And that can cause a lot of problems. If the solar flare is big enough, it itself can actually cause disruption to satellites and other things like that. Probably the ISS, maybe some aircraft, but really, when we're talking about the actual X-ray energy of the solar flare, our ozone and our atmosphere will protect us for the most part from that. However, within just minutes after a solar flare, we can get something called a solar energetic particle event, where solar energetic particles, basically the same kind of stuff that the sun has just blasted off, some of it gets to come to Earth a little bit quicker than most of the mass, because there are these things called magnetic portals. And I know that sounds science fiction-y, but NASA gave them their name. They're interplanetary magnetic fields that connect every planet back to the sun. And just think of just like you think about a wormhole portal in space. It's a magnetic tube that can accelerate particles. And if the eruption happens to hit that magnetic tube, Earth can get particles surge to it in as little as just a few minutes. These definitively have more of an effect at the poles than anything else, but these can have all of the same types of effects as we just described, with the additional danger of actually, you know, bringing these radiating particles down through the atmosphere. So we're not just talking about induced currents and technology. Something like that actually can harm human beings if they're, you know, at high enough latitude on the ground and we were to get a major event. Definitely if they were in airplanes. In fact, when we have these,
Dan,
they
I'm sorry, to cut in, we got to hold it right there because we got to step aside for a hard break. They're unforgiving. And I want to pick up these effects when we come back. And then I've got a question also about Michio Kaku. And we're going to step aside for a couple of messages. And when we come back, we're going to continue more with this very important information. Stay tuned.
All right, for this week's Ranger Gear Review, did you know that hackers and government agencies can scan your RFID personal identity details through the air invisibly using an RFID scanner that reads the chips that are increasingly on driver's licenses, passports, and credit cards? Merely by walking near an RFID scanner, which may be hidden, by the way, you can have your personal identity details stolen without your knowledge or consent. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I launched Ranger Gear to be able to offer solutions for problems just like this. We came up with RFID blocking sleeves that interfere with RFID scanning attempts and block them so that no one can steal information off your credit cards, driver's licenses, or passports. You just slip any credit card or passport into one of these sleeves, and it immediately blocks the RFID scanning. It can't get through it. It's like a bulletproof vest against RFID signals. These RFID blocking sleeves are infinitely reusable, they're durable, they're portable, lightweight, almost weigh nothing, and you have to use them now when you travel to protect your identity and your personal security as well. We've got them on sale now, a pack of 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. All of them block RFID 100%. They're available now 10% off by using discount code DAVE at rangergear.com. Again, just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com and you'll save 10% off this RFID blocking sleeve pack, which contains 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. I really can't emphasize this enough. Anywhere that you travel right now, if you have these RFID chips embedded in your cards or passports, you are being scanned and tracked without your knowledge. But you can block that using these RFID blocking sleeves right now. Rangergear.com. Use discount code DAVE to save 10% today.
Hey, did I mention that I'm a fugitive from potential justice? Yes, you heard that. You know, I should be careful because they'll pull our show. But Loretta Lynch has made reference to the Common Sense Show and some other shows. According to about a dozen reports I've received today, both in print and by voicemail, people saying they've read it, they've heard it. Well, we'll see if this rumor takes legs, but she did threaten people who spoke against speaking out against unscreened Muslim immigration. Just thought I'd throw that out there. And I'm lurking in the shadows right now, making myself more difficult to detect. And of course, when you do something like this, you need the services of Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. He's got a whole line of survival goods, and I'll tell you, it's top of the line stuff. He's a top of the line guy, and you're going to want to go to ReadyMadeResources.com, check out his fine product line. I'm telling you, the most important thing that I think is overlooked on anyone's survival menu, other than medicine, is the fact that you need to have night vision. And Bob has the best with a 1-week money-back guarantee. Go to ReadyMadeResources.com and then give Bob a call. He'll talk to you. 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 1-800-627-3809. Well, we went to break, Ben, and sorry for that quick departure there, but I want to have you finish your thought, and then I'd like you to meld this into a question I have regarding Michio Kaku. I followed Dr. Kaku quite a bit, and he says we got about a 5% chance of making it out of the technological situation we're in terms of our societal organization. He refers to us as a type zero society moving to a type one, and he says we're probably not going to make it. So let me have you finish that last thought before the break about these effects, and then address Michio Kaku's point, and I want to get your view on that.
Well, absolutely. Just to finish up the last little bit of the timeline, when we would be looking at the main burst to hit Earth and actually potentially cause the global disruption, and that's it, that day we all hope never arrives. We're looking at, for most of these things, somewhere between 2 and 4 days, but for the big one, we could be looking at a day, or maybe even, you know, we're, you know, speaking in terms of hours, you know, probably not less than 12 hours, but technically it's possible. And so that's one of the reasons why, I mean, that's not the only reason, but that's one of the reasons why Michio Kaku would say something like that. And I think a better way to translate that, so it really sinks in for people, is that we have a 95% chance of extinction as a species, or at least getting reset back to zero and having to start all over again. We have a 95% chance of that, and only a 5% chance of, you know, moving forward with what we have now, because essentially all of the cards are not stacked in our favor at the moment. The best way you can think about this, and this is something that Michio and others have alluded to, and I have to imagine that even if unspoken, this is the kind of thing that they're thinking about, and this is the kind of thing that everyone should be thinking about. And by the way, I was listening to some of the commercials on the break, and that one about food, everybody needs to get food. You know, the company that was actually being advertised sounded like they had a really good thing going. I can't even say a lot of those claims about the stores I have. I'm going to rethink that, but I don't want to get too far off topic. Really, the Earth goes through these periods, like I said before, where it's kind to life, and then it tests life. For the last, not just few hundred years, but few thousand years. The Earth has been getting kinder and kinder since it came out of the last ice age. It hasn't been this kind to life since the explosion of life in the Cretaceous period, you know, potentially. But, you know, the reason for this is Earth's magnetic field that I was talking about before, the thing that protects us from deadly space energy. This has been very, very strong. At the same time, there's evidence that our entire solar system was going through a sparse dust cloud in the galaxy, which also shielded us from things like supernova and gamma ray bursts, more than if we were not in a dust cloud. But we are coming out of that dust cloud, and Earth's magnetic field is weakening, and we're losing our protection. It's the kind of thing where we were allowed to grow. We were allowed to kind of be children and learn our way, make a lot of mistakes, but childhood is coming to an end here, and honestly, it's time humans are tested, and I don't know how well we're going to stack up against this test, because we were given a gift, and you know, there is a yin and a yang to everything. There's positive and negative. You push a swing one way, you better step to the other side or have really good hand-eye coordination, because that thing's coming right back at you. Things are going to swing back the other way.
Well, Ben, when I had you on, we had you on the Liberty Brothers before. I remember one of our numerous interviews we had, you talked about a time coming up here that you see on Earth when, if I remember correctly, Ben, of course, and you can flesh this out, if I remember, between the hours of maybe 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock, we're not going to be able to come outside because of the diminishing magnetic field, and the solar rays during that period of time, when they're their strongest, are going to be so strong that it's really going to negatively affect our bodies so much that we're going to have to sort of stay inside or stay sheltered between that time period. Can you kind of go over that? Am I accurate in my memory on that? And can you kind of flesh that out a little bit, if you don't mind?
Right, and you know, that would actually go for AM and PM, and this would be in the most extreme circumstance. You know, if we got here, we would already be having so many problems that the thought of adding something else would probably break most people. But if we got to the point where a full magnetic reversal was taking place, and the poles were reversing, and we had these mini poles that were popping up in different places on the planet while the poles were in the midst of reversing, you know, that means that when you're on the sunlit side, there's a very good chance that, you know, that shield that would have funneled the dangerous particles to the poles before might actually funnel them down right on top of your head. And of course, the most dangerous time for that would be when there could be one of those solar bursts coming right at you, which is actually kind of interesting, because right now it doesn't matter if it's noon or midnight where you are. When the sun juices up the planet, it juices up the electrojet ring all around it, and there could be damages anywhere. However, if we're talking about that situation where you're in the middle of a magnetic reversal, in the middle of a pole flip, literally, you can be standing there, and you know, if you're facing the sun, it does matter if one of these bursts hits Earth, because it is going to come right down. And you know, likewise on the other side of the planet, the thing that's been protecting you from galactic cosmic rays is now gone. And there's a wealth of studies about galactic cosmic rays and health effects. Somebody could literally just Google what I just said and probably get lost for a couple of hours. So, you know, that would be the most extreme type situation. But, you know, before we got there, the sun would have probably taken out our power. We would be seeing mega quakes, the super volcanoes, and the horrible weather in every form imaginable, which is the kind of thing you see when Earth is subject to all this energy from outer space. I mean, weather and seismicity and volcanoes are really all about energy and stored up and pressure building up, and you know, where and when is that energy released? Well, this situation I'm talking about is where there is no barrier, there is no protective interface between Earth and everything outside of it that could potentially just dump that exact same energy into Earth.
Well, that's a very fascinating point. It leads me to wonder about my next question here. should we be doing something different in terms of energy generation to supply our energy needs? Is there something we could be doing to make ourselves safer?
That's interesting. It's tough because unless you can really do something on a global scale, or at least to the point where the entire system that we, the entire paradigm we live under wouldn't collapse, it's almost like, well, how much does it help you if you're on an island there in the middle of the neighborhood and all your neighbors around you are suffering and you've got something like that? Apart from, something personal, I really don't know how you protect something like that. I mean, if it's something personal and small, you could very easily put it in a Faraday cage or something like that. It's a real question of what to do about this.
What I'm really looking at here is think bigger, not individual survival per se, but collective survival. What should our world leaders be looking at? Rather than wasting our time on pseudo-global warming theories in Paris, maybe they should be looking at these issues. Is there an energy paradigm we could shift out of and into something else that would make us safer and give us the chance to live on through such an event?
I'm afraid that the answer is going to be kind of shocking, and I'm not sure we have time for it before our break here in a few minutes. But essentially, the beginning of the answer is I'm afraid that naivete is not really one of the qualities of the world leaders. They know precisely what is happening. It's one of the reasons why there are things like the seed vault, because they realize that there's a lot of starting over that's going to have to happen. The reason why FEMA bought 10 million body bags and things like that is not because they're going to war against people. It's because a lot of people are probably going to die. And they bought all the bullets because the people are going to be going to war against each other and against anybody who seeks to, be an authority figure in that type of situation. They know exactly what's happening, and the name of the game right now is blame man for everything. Because as long as we're the cause of everything, it's within our control, we can stop it when we want to, and things really aren't that bad. But if people realize that things that the sun are doing are actually affecting every single planet in ways that are very, very similar to the things that are ascribed to climate change. And if you realize that Earth is also changing in a different way, in that we are simultaneously losing our magnetic field, and what happens to be one of the greatest cosmic coincidences I could ever imagine. I can't believe the sun and Earth, their cycles are syncing like this, because the two are very different. The sun does this every once in a while, the Earth does this every long once in a while, and they just happen to sync up right now. And that's the kind of thing where you just have to shake your head and say you've got to change.
Ben, we hate to cut you off, but we're coming once again to the end of this segment. We hope you hang around with us here on the Common Sense Show with Ben Davidson. I'm James White along with Dave Hodges. We'll be back after these short messages.
Talking about America's decline, the liars that rule, the impending police state, the collapse of the dollar and the economy, or the loss of electricity due to an EMP? Well, it's just talk. A wise man does more. He prepares. Whatever the trigger or disaster, you cannot depend on your local grocer, the big box store, or any government handouts to feed your family. So reclaim your independence and food freedom by purchasing Numana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com. Numana Food Storage meals are individually wrapped and placed in a reusable bucket. Numana meals are delicious. Potato cheese casserole, beans and rice, pancakes, pasta primavera, habanero chili, and more. No MSG, no preservatives, no high fructose corn syrup, no GMOs. Nutritious food to feed your family, friends, and assembly at a very reasonable price. Under $2 a meal. So you can have a better shot at surviving the tough times. With a shelf life of 25 years, it's food insurance and food assurance. You'll need to add the fire in the water. Make the wise choice. Order new Mana Food Storage from foodforliberty.com today. Foodforliberty.com.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and you can find this offer at rangergear.com. Just go to rangergear.com. Use coupon code DAVE to get a folding credit card knife for one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally these are sold online for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at rangergear.com you can get it for a penny. Just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com right now and enjoy this really unique preparedness item for years to come.
Well, we know we live in uncertain times, and I want to direct you back, as I do every day, to Steve Quayle. Don't keep your money in the bank, folks. I mean, keep what is a manageable amount. Manage your bills, but you're really losing money. I mean, just look at interest you pay out versus interest they pay, which is really nothing, because pretty soon we're going to be paying a negative interest rate. And so I would encourage you to convert to precious metals. And I want to refer you to a guy who is not high pressure. He's not a used car salesman. He's not one of those guys that'd be waiting for you if you open your car door and there he is in your face. That's not who Steve Quayle is. Steve Quayle will work with you with regard to your monetary needs. He'll advise you based on what your portfolio is and what your goals are. Give him a call. Just talk to Steve. 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And Dave Hodges is a happy and satisfied customer. And by the way, please tell him that Dave and Jim sent you to Steve. Well, we're back with our special guest, Ben Davidson. And Ben, I have to tell you, this stuff is riveting. This stuff is scary. I know about the EMP thing, but now I'm seeing the crossover here with this. Quick question based on speculation. And that's all this is. We're hypothesizing here on this question. If we had a three-day warning, as you indicated we might, do you think the powers that be would cover it up, or would we be told so we could try to make preparations?
You know, I think a lot of these preparations are already made, and it would kind of be the type of thing where it would almost be only the last pieces needed to come into place. You know, there is, you know, like I said, there's evidence that they've been preparing for this in a lot of different ways, not just in actually preparing, you know, for the event, but preparing psychologically. I mean, why would they put a FEMA commercial in the Super Bowl? Not this last one, but the one before. Why would they tell more than a billion people, be ready, have a plan, something can happen, you never know? They're saying, wake up. Why would they do that? You know, why would they be coordinating with Walmarts all across the country? Because where's everybody going to go when there's no one else, where there's nowhere else to go and there's no food or water? You know, the same type of things that look like preparation for a police state, they look eerily similar to preparation for catastrophe. Because in many ways, dealing with the post-cataclysmic scenario is very much like a police state, if you think about it. In fact, it's really not dissimilar in more than just a few key ways. You know, I see this as, you know, playing in so many different conversations that people are already having and they don't even really know it. You know, not saying that definitively that's what you know, exactly is the plan, but, you know, there should be that voice coming in and saying, is this a possibility as well? Is this why they're doing a lot of the things they're doing? I would advocate that I don't know answers to things like that, but given what I know about our sun and the vulnerability, the growing vulnerability of our planet, I would be doing a lot of these exact same things. And I would also, while I was making these preparations, be doing everything I could to distract people so that anarchy and chaos didn't ensue and the world didn't collapse before it needed to or was in danger of actually doing it. Because apart from an asteroid actually crashing into the Earth or something like that, there are a few things more devastating than people actually going nuts and there being a realization that there is no tomorrow and chaos ensues. Things like that would actually do far more damage than any of the things we've really talked about. It's sort of psych 101 that is what mass populations will do in this type of scenario. So you're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place here, where you have to prepare for what is literally the worst possible scenario. And, you know, can you really tell anybody about it if you want them to have their best chance to survive? It's a horrible thing to say. I hate the secrecy, and I wouldn't want to be in that position. But I can recognize that if I was in that position, I'd have to listen to somebody saying, wait a minute, you have to think before you just start screaming this stuff to everybody. I would have to, in my heart, if I'm being honest, say that somebody should be voicing those opinions in the room.
Well, you know, Ben, do you see a situation with the reduction of the magnetic field that we talked about earlier, if we can get around to that? I mean, that seems to be something, you know, we've talked before. I think last time it was a 17% reduction, and then you said maybe if it gets up to close to 30%, that's a really, really bad thing. I mean, are we talking a potentially like tidal wave, large tidal waves, like 200-300 mile an hour winds? I mean, if this energy field continues to deteriorate, we're going to be more vulnerable. I mean, we're going to be basically naked in a way here in the middle of this space, which is a very cruel place. Am I onto something with that?
Well, you know, the best way to describe it is this summer, since we've seen, further weakening of the field, the magnetic field of Earth, we have seen the most solar-induced technological disruptions that we have seen in any solar cycle on record. I actually went and I checked, and this has been the weakest solar cycle of the space age. So we're talking about, even though the sun is not doing very much, Earth is so weak that it's setting records. Meanwhile, during this time, almost every single major typhoon and cyclone and hurricane record fell. Except things like things that are specific to the Atlantic Ocean and Florida. You know, strongest storm ever recorded. Most storms, most super typhoons, most hurricanes or cyclones at one time, most in one area of the Pacific, earliest formation of three major cyclones. I mean, literally, almost every significant tropical weather record was obliterated this year. And this is the kind of thing we're looking at. Everything around us is going to be getting a little scarier, and the solar disruptions are going to be getting scarier and more numerous. This last week was the first time I can actually say, hey, there are two really simultaneous electrical glitches at nuclear plants during this event, or at least during the bad times of the event, solar storm event. I haven't been able to say that before. And it's the kind of thing where, you know, the earthquakes and the volcanoes will get worse too, but at a slower pace than will the weather and the technological vulnerability. It's looking like, and I honestly could not explain the exact reasons why this is, it is looking, just, you know, from what we've seen, that is what is changing the most right now. And that's what's changing the fastest. And those are the canaries in the mine, so to speak.
Well, I've got another canary in the mind I'd like to ask you about. I went to a conference back in 1997 where I was asked to speak, and one of the other presenters showed a TV pilot that never aired, and it was narrated by Charlton Heston, the old-time late great actor. And in that, they interviewed scientists that said when the magnetic field weakens, it dramatically affects a person's individual personality, and it could have a collective effect on humanity if the effect was great enough. What do you know about that?
I'm gonna try to do this as fast as I can before we hit the hour mark there. So part of what I was talking about before about us having a gift from the universe and then we get tested. Not only have we been coddled from dangerous space energy that could make the Earth a scary place, but this energy happens to be what allows us to use more of our brains. They've tested astronauts who have gone out into space. They actually use more of their brains. And, you know, things like that are, you know, just let your mind run with that. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. So for the last, you know, for this round of human childhood, while we have been growing and learning and testing and making mistakes, we have also not really known who we are or what we are or what we're capable of. Now, that's the yin and the yang of now and the past. The yin and the yang of the future is that we are about to have access to everything we deserve from the universe in terms of our minds. And this is about as far as I go with the whole consciousness thing. I don't believe in this whole, there's this wave of light that's going to be so wonderful and we're going to be living in a utopia. Well, there's going to be these energies that come down and unlock a lot of things inside of us that we didn't understand before. But that's the good part. The bad part is, with that gift comes the test. And that's going to be, can we deal with everything the universe is going to allow the Earth to throw at us? And there's evidence that these things not just affect human health and you know what you're able to do, but they affect things on a massive scale, whether it's times of peace or times of revolution. There was a not well-known experiment done by the Chicago Police Department where they were putting out radio frequencies from transmitters in the back of their cars, and they decreased crime 17% 1 week. And I mean, it's just the kind of thing where these energies affect people in ways that are subtle, in ways that are very, very difficult to detect unless, you know, you're looking retrospectively at a large situation. If you're in the middle of it, it's nearly impossible to know what's going on. But this is the kind of thing that was happening. We were made children, and we needed to grow a little bit and learn. And while we had our greater skills taken away from us, the Earth was kind to us. Both of those things are about to change. We're about to get our big boy pants, so to speak, and the Earth is about to, you know, sort of toss us to the wolves. So that's
what
really
a great way. What a great way to conclude this interview. We're just about out of time, and I wanted to leave just enough time for you to tell the listening audience again how they could follow your good work.
Absolutely. Everything you need is at suspiciousobservers.org.
Very good. Well, Ben David says, my first time talking to you, and I have thoroughly enjoyed this. I mean, Jim has raved about you, and I thank you for coming on and exposing our audience to the great amount of knowledge that you have, and we look forward to having you back at a future date.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. I hope you guys have a good one.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Wow. That's all I got to say is W-O-W. And if things turn bad, like he says, we might have to turn upside down and call it Mom, because we'll be all calling for our mothers here. Now, this is one I'm glad I didn't interview. I didn't do right before I went to bed, Jim. This is pretty scary stuff. Well, anyway, we are out of time, my friend. So we'll be with Rich Sheen tomorrow, survivalist expert, and he's got a great, great, great background, fascinating personal story too. Anyway, we hope you join me back here at the same time tomorrow. Global Star Radio Network, talknetwork.com, and of course WMQM AM 1600 Memphis. See you tomorrow. Go out and have a great evening. God bless.